Hey, everybody, Matt, Jess and Dave here.
Sorry, Jess, just butting in quickly to let the listeners know that I'm going to be in Sydney this week, coming up the 8th to the 12th of May, and you can get tickets now via mattshieldcomedy.com, then going straight to Brisbane on the 16th to the 19th. So tickets for my show Dryer Dryer in Sydney and Melbourne.
Sorry, Matt, I'll just cut you off there. I just need to tell everyone that our quiz show, our web series, is out right now. Do go on the quiz show. You can see it on Stupid Old Channel for free on YouTube. Type in "Do Go On The Quiz Show" and you can see three episodes right now covering topics like Google, Queen Victoria, the Olympics, and we got five more episodes coming up. So like and subscribe, whatever that means.
They are big topics too. And I said Sydney and Melbourne. I meant Sydney and Brisbane. Anyway, let's get on with the show.
I'm still here too.
Oh, hey, Jess.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
And welcome to Do Go On, a podcast hosted exclusively by me, Jess Perkins.
Hang on a second.
My guests, who are temporary, my temporary guests this week.
We're not even on for the full ep.
Matthew Gerald Stewart.
That is not his middle name.
And David James Warnocky.
Correct.
That James is actually.
But James is mine
as
well.
Is it as well? How have we never discussed that you have the same middle name?
We have.
Probably have.
I'm sure.
And all our mums have Anne in their names.
That's right.
And all of us have James. Your middle name's James as well, right?
Yeah, it is.
James Anne.
James Anne.
James Anne Perkins.
I was making up Dave's and then realised halfway through that I was saying the correct name.
That's the correct name. How are you, Jess?
I'm pretty good. Thank you for giving me a chance to intro. It was no good and will do it from now on.
I thought the tone, style, great, but the fact that you introduced Matt and I as temporary guests means you will never have that privilege again.
Fair enough.
No,
I just
like
want
it.
To be the star.
You are the star already. You just don't need that little intro bit at the start.
Okay.
Now, people like you for your hateful soul.
Yeah, that's
it's
right.
It's the adorable exterior with the
bitter core.
Bitter core, yeah.
And Matt, how are you?
I'm really good.
You're not bitter. You're just a happy chappy.
Mate, couldn't be happier. Life's
happy
life's
chappy.
Wonderful.
Life's pretty peachy.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah. Hear that? Hear that? Positivity and optimism
just
in his voice.
Everything about things is good.
That's right. That
num num num. Life is delicious.
It totally is. Perk up, Perkins. Perk up.
Hashtag perk up.
Jess, do you want to tell everyone what this show is? They haven't heard before.
Because I didn't do that in my intro. This is a trivia comedy fact-based podcast where each week one of us take turns. Each week we're one of us.
Yes.
Doing really
stuck in
well.
A loop.
Presents a school-like report, if you will, on a topic of our choosing, and presents fun facts to the other two, and you learn and you laugh.
That's nearly accurate, but fun
There's
facts
no
is
laughing.
Fun facts is your thing.
That oh, that's my thing.
Not every report will contain fun facts. I don't believe mine will finish fun facts because today it's my turn to take the lead with a report.
Because the whole thing will be fun.
Exactly.
You don't need fun facts if
you're trying
whole
to let me know at the end if I've spliced in, sort of sprinkled across some fun facts throughout the next hour of your life.
Great.
All right, so should we just get straight into
yeah,
it, Matt?
Yeah, let's get stuck in.
Yeah, but I'd like you to put the fun facts at the end where they belong, mate.
Hey, Matt.
But num, life is delicious.
I am a maverick. I like to fun fact. So I like to keep the listeners interested rather than them skipping 50 minutes to the end of the podcast.
Sure.
Some people are. They're like, oh, Mary Poppins.
I don't know. I've seen that, but I want the fun facts at the end. 50 minutes, skip.
Skip. Okay. Yeah, no, he's onto something there.
Hey, who cares? We get the downloads
now,
all we need.
My next episode, I'm going to put my fun facts bang in the middle.
Ah.
Yeah, find them now, you turds.
Oh, but you said bang in the middle, so they'll just...
Oh, exactly. Oh, yeah. An hour and 14, they'll be like, oh, 37 minutes in.
Damn it, Perkins.
That's how it works. Well, guys.
I like it when I make Matt laugh. I don't know why. I find it really gratifying.
Yeah, he's a tough cookie to crack, but when you get him, sometimes he spasms out of control.
He just has such a little chuckle. It's great.
It is great. Well, I'm going to try and get you chuckling on this show, Matt. Well, I will. I'm just trying to steer the ship on track here, people. We often start to get into my report with a question. Guys, we are going into the underworld. Ooh. My first question is, who do you think is the most famous criminal in history?
Oh, famous criminal.
Okay. Ned Kelly.
No, very good.
Famous criminal. Jack
Worldwide,
the Ripper.
Worldwide, are we talking?
We are definitely international.
Charles Manson.
No, how about I say, who are the most famous criminal duo?
Bonnie and Clyde.
Yes.
Very good.
They're the number one, are they?
What well, do you duo. Think? Who are you thinking?
Someone...
Bloody George Clooney and Brad Pitt stealing all those hearts.
Oh, very good.
In the Oceans movies?
Yes.
And they also committed crimes.
Oh, yeah,
no,
they did too. You're right. Oh, yeah.
How about Hall and Oates?
Stealing all them hearts.
On the dance floor, though, am I right?
Stealing all that musical what about, genius.
Jesus Christ.
He's literally already said what the topic is, so now...
What? Please explain to me the duo and the criminality of Jesus Christ. Is
well,
because he's
the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Yeah,
it's a trio.
So he's a trio.
That is a
he's
trio.
A triptych.
He's a triptych of crime. No, not at all.
Well, he was a criminal though, because he was.
He was persecuted as a criminal. I imagine. Okay, fair enough. I like that slide. I think that's very good.
Persecuted.
Still, he's only one. He's only one man. I did a drama solo in year 10 of Bonnie and Clyde. Oh, I mainly played Bonnie.
Oh?
But I did...
Did a little bit of... You dabbled?
Oh, yeah. Because you got to do multiple characters.
So what was the text? Was it pre-written or did you have to devise a piece? Or what was your...
No, yeah, I had to devise a piece.
So do you know a bit about Bonnie and Clyde then?
Some facts will come back to me, but I can't really pull much out right now.
Well, that's okay, because I've got... Matt, how about you? Do you know much about the...
I reckon I, at one point, flicked over and saw a movie, like a biopic about them. Maybe one from the '80s.
Was it like a so?
It had the guy that played Dick Tracy in it, the one that You're So Vain's written about. You know that guy.
Well, the most famous film is.
Can't think of his
the
name.
Most famous
Warren Beatty.
Warren Beatty. Yeah,
Warren
that's
Beatty.
The most famous. That's 1967. That movie.
Fuck off,
Warren Beatty.
Really?
You said Dunaway. 80s. Did you say
80s? Yeah, I thought it was from the '80s.
Yeah, it's actually. I watched the movie on this weekend.
67. How old is Warren Beatty?
Still alive. So is Faye Dunaway. You know who's also in it? Gene Hackman.
Ooh.
Quite young. And also there's a cameo from Gene Wilder, Willy Wonka.
I love Gene Wilder.
It's actually quite a good film.
Double Gene.
Not that accurate to the story of their lives. Luckily I didn't base the report on that film, but it's really well directed, and it was a landmark movie in cinema because it's one of the first films to depict on-screen violence in a very graphic way.
Oh.
So before that, people would get shot off camera or they wouldn't see it. But in that, people get shot in the face.
Oh. I accidentally stumbled upon a clip on YouTube the other day. I was stuck in a YouTube vortex.
Oh,
and
tell
it was
me
some
it.
Kind of musical number between Bonnie and Clyde. Was she like an actress? Was she wanting to make it big in Hollywood or something? Did I make
no,
that?
No, that would have been a dramatization.
You're thinking of not Bonnie and Clyde, but Sonny Bono and Cher.
Ah. Yeah.
Or Jay-Z and Beyoncé.
That's
have
who
a song.
I was watching, Jay-Z and Beyoncé.
03 Bonnie and Clyde from the year 2003.
Oh, they did a like a musical clip.
One of the song is
like a musical.
Well, in the film clip, they play like a modern day Bonnie and Clyde. Do you know that song, "Me and My Girlfriend"? That song. That's Jay-Z.
I need a little. I'm gonna need a little.
Yeah, a bit more. I don't know.
It's me and my girlfriend. That's all I know. Jay-Z, and then he does a lot of rapping. Beyonce. It's the clip that
he
working
does
on that.
A lot of rapping.
We'll say that song is where they got together.
A career based on that, mate. Okay.
You know that making that song is where Jay-Z and Beyonce first coupled up.
Yeah, well, he's a millionaire because of he's a lot of rapping. Okay.
Yeah.
What do? Write some bloody jokes. Good on you.
Well,
can't give us a joke, Dave. If you're so good at rapping and joking all the time, I assume that's what is that? I wasn't listening. Is that what he said? He's great at rapping and joking.
He said I'm excellent at
rapping. Well, give us some joke raps.
I'm
mate.
Better than Jay-Z. He said.
My name is Dave.
Oh, no, 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 abort, abort, abort.
Bonnie and Clyde.
No.
Bonnie and Clyde played by Faye Dunaway.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. Do you know that film, 1967, Bonnie and Clyde, to steer this back on track? Nominated for 10 Academy Awards.
10 to tie it back
including
to.
Including Warren Beatty and Faye Dunaway getting... Do you know that Warren Beatty has been nominated for 14 Academy Awards?
That's a lot.
Isn't that crazy for writing, directing, acting?
He's quite a popular...
amazing.
Actor guy.
Anyway, this
old
is...
Old white guy getting a lot of... I guess he wasn't always an old white guy. But
yeah, that's right. He was once a young white guy.
He was always white.
But anyway, Bonnie and Clyde, here they are. Bonnie and Clyde were part of what is known as the Public Enemies era, operating through the US Great Depression in the 1930s. So everyone was, people were very, very poor, but then there were some famous outlaws that were sort of enemies of the public because of what they were doing. And the other super famous public enemy from this era is John Dillinger.
John Dillinger.
So they're enemies of the public, so the public aren't even happy with them. I thought they could be like Ned Kelly types, with it, or like, you know, Robin Hood, where they steal from the rich.
Well, we'll talk about their profile, definitely, yes. So it started.
We're getting too far ahead of ourselves.
No, it started well for them, but then in the end, they did become enemies of the public. But let's start with Bonnie. Do you know her last name?
Clyde.
Oh. Bonnie Clyde and Clyde Bonnie, correct. No, it's Bonnie Parker.
Yeah.
Bonnie Parker?
No,
Bonnie.
I don't think that's right. That doesn't sound right to me.
Oh, sorry, Bonnie Elizabeth Parker.
There it is.
Was born in Rowena, Texas in 1910.
Rowena.
She was the second of three children. Her father, Charles Parker, was a bricklayer who died when
Middle child syndrome. There
that's right. But he died when she was just 4 years old. Her mother worked as a seamstress who moved the family to a poor suburb known now as West Dallas. So this is starting out in Texas. In her second year in high school, Parker met classmate Roy Thornton. They dropped out of school together and were married on September 25th, 1926, 6 days before she turned 16.
Oh, she got married at 15.
15.
Damn, you know what I did at 15? Got my ears pierced for the second time, like the second holes in you.
Really?
Hey, yeah.
That's both something.
Both classic signs of rebellion there.
Yeah. And my mum was like, that looks nice.
I love marriage as rebellion.
Well, at 15.
Yeah, it definitely is. But I like to think that it is forever. Like 35-year-olds getting married.
Yeah, your parents are there
cop
walking
this
you down
mom
the aisle.
And dad.
That's your speech?
Yeah.
Cop this, dad.
Suck
yeah.
It. So, was her husband's name Roy, did you say?
Roy Thornton. But I wouldn't bother writing his name down because their marriage were marked by his frequent absences and brushes with the law. So he was a bit of a crim himself. And it was very short-lived. They broke up and she never saw him again after January 1929. However, they never officially divorced and she was wearing his wedding ring when she died.
She never took it. Okay.
Sorry to say.
Spoiler alert.
Well, she was born in 1910.
Yeah, so she may have died...
Of old age.
Of super old age in a nursing home.
Last week.
Still,
surrounded by her medals of valour.
Still 106. Too young.
Rest in peace.
So, sorry, how long were they married for? I'm really fascinated by
they're
this.
They're still married.
Oh, yeah, I know, okay, but...
yeah, that's right.
She never saw him again after 29, so 3 years.
So, for 3 years, but before they'd broken up before that.
Imagine being married and broken up by, like, 17, 18 years old.
Been there, done that, marriage.
Yeah, imagine.
What's next?
After the marriage ended, she lived with her mother and worked as a waitress. One of her customers was the postal worker Ted Hilton, who said men would often hit on the good-looking Parker and later admitted that he himself had a crush on her. But we'll get back to Ted a little bit later.
Ted
Hinton, H-I-N-T-O-N.
I'm noting that down because you're alluding to that. I think something's going
to
happen
changes
with our
his
old
name
mate.
To Bonnie.
Ted.
No, she's Bonnie. Wait, which one's Bonnie again?
She Bonnie? Parker.
Bonnie Parker.
Out of Bonnie and Clyde, who do you reckon is the girl?
Well, I mean, Dave's only said it 17 times so far, so I mean...
So we've got...
So Bonnie's the girl. I'm going to write that down.
Bonnie equals girl. Write that. Clyde...
And Clyde?
Equals boy.
Okay.
Let's talk about Clyde. Do you know his last name? Bonnie Parker and Clyde...
Clyde Devonair.
Can you get your first letter?
Starts with a B.
Benson.
I actually don't know.
Okay, Clyde Barrow.
Okay, I didn't know that.
So Bonnie Parker and Clyde Barrow. It's a classic...
I don't think that's right either.
It's a classic... classic trivia question you'll have in Trivial Pursuit a lot is what is their last name or Barrow and Parker are the surnames of which famous crime duo. So remember that one out there if you're playing Trivial Pursuit. Clyde Chestnut Barrow was born. That's his middle name. How good is that? Also, no, a.k.a. Clyde Champion Barrow. He went by two names.
Nah, Chestnut's better. It's not Chester, you know, which is an actual name. So it's Chestnut.
C.C. Barrow is great. He was born in 1909, making him 1 year older than Bonnie. He was born into a very poor farming family in Ellis County, also Texas, which was southeast of Dallas. He was the fifth of seven children. His family migrated to Dallas in the early 1920s as part of a wave of resettlement from impoverished farms to an urban slum known as West Dallas. So he also moved to West Dallas.
Oh.
The Barrows spent their first months in West Dallas living under their wagon. And eventually they upgraded to living in a tent. As a teenager, Clyde attempted to enlist in the US Navy, but lingering effects from a serious boyhood illness, possibly malaria or yellow fever, no one ever really knew, resulted in him being rejected on medical grounds, which was a hard blow for Clyde, who had already tattooed USN or US Navy on his left arm. Mm-hmm. Oh, which, after talking about tattoos last week, I don't think they would have had laser removal back in the 1920s.
It's a bit eager, isn't it?
That is eager.
Getting the tattoo before the job.
What can you change that to? What was it? USN.
Yeah.
US.
You could call it to pus not. Pus now. Puss.
Bus now.
Bus now. He could become a bus driver.
Bus now.
Bus just now. Sort of
wraps around his arm.
Yeah.
Bus no. And he refuses to get on buses.
Ah. Yeah, I think I like that the most. Mm-hmm. That's bus pretty no. good. Look, I think that was worth stopping the conversation for.
No, I think we've saved the day for old Clyde. Nothing bad's going to happen to him. Or is it? Barrow was first arrested in 1926 for automobile theft after failing to return a car he had rented in Dallas to visit an estranged high school girlfriend. The rental car agency dropped the charges, but the incident remained on his record. Can you imagine renting a car to a 16-year-old kid?
Yeah.
Who has USN tattooed on his arm?
Yep.
Fair enough. Just three.
I would.
Yeah.
Just
done,
three.
I've done it a couple times this week.
I trust him.
Yeah.
I think he's a good guy. Misunderstood, perhaps.
He's a chestnut, that kid.
He's having a little bit of bad luck. You know, he didn't get into the Navy. Mate. Take the car a bit longer.
He forgot to return it. That's fine. But 3 weeks later, he was arrested again alongside his older brother, Ivan Buck Barrow.
Better name.
For an even more serious crime. Possession of a truckload of stolen turkeys.
Oh my God.
So he started with the big crimes, this guy.
No, is that the official crime? Is that what it's written down in the law?
Is that a metric measurement? A truckload of turkeys?
No, these are genuine gobble-gobble live turkeys. They stole a truck
full
of them.
I know, but how many is a truck full? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, how big is a truck, Dave?
How big is it? Because it could be like a little budget truck.
No. We're talking about a 78-tonner. I don't know what that means.
78-tonner? That is a big truck.
That's the big turkey. That's a big turkey.
And it's a
78-ton turkey.
It's
a very big turkey.
Yeah. Hey, this guy was a criminal mastermind. Hey, Buck, I hear that there's the world's biggest turkey living in the farm next door. Let's go steal it.
And it's the biggest by, like, thousands of times.
Yeah, that's right. He's literally king of the turkeys.
Literally.
He's got a crown and everything. He's been knighted. Kings get knighted, right? Oh, God. He sits on a turkey throne.
But if he's the king, he had to knight himself.
Yeah.
Yeah. I dub me, Sir Turkey King.
All hail, Sir Turkey King.
All hail, all the other turkeys start hailing. It's quite a good turkey impression, isn't it?
Not a bad turkey.
Do you want to, should we all have a go?
I will not.
Come on,
Matt, it's really fun.
Come on.
But do it in an English voice so you get to get away with your English accent.
Be an English turkey.
Oh, well, I find both of those things difficult.
I actually think you nailed it.
Because yeah, what went with it was like a very hoity-toity head.
I'm not very confident about this. I am having fun doing a silly voice. Ooh. So good, Matt.
Your face is saying fuck you right now. I don't know if you know that, but your face is looking at me and your eyes are saying fuck you. Oh, now your mouth is saying it.
Fuck you. Yeah, there it is. Several accounts describe Bonnie and Clyde's first meeting, but let's go with this one because that's the one I found the most sources for. Bonnie Parker met Clyde Barrow on January 5th, 1930 at Clarence Clay's house, who was a friend of Clyde.
Clay, that is a cracking name.
So Bonnie was, it's such a good one, isn't it? Mm. Bonnie was out of work and was staying in West Dallas to assist a female friend who had a broken arm. So she's a nice girl. We're painting that picture. Yeah. Clyde dropped by the girl's house while Parker was in the kitchen making hot chocolate. Oh, that's quite nice, isn't it? When they met, both were smitten immediately.
Aww.
Most historians believe Parker joined Barrow, that's Bonnie joined Clyde, because she was in love with him.
Aww. But love will make you do silly things.
But they were soon split apart because after sequential arrests in 1928, 1929, soon after this meeting, he was sent to Eastham Prison Farm in April 1930. So just a bit... Well, yeah, and he got sentenced to 14 years in jail.
Oh.
He was only like 20 years old in 1930.
But it's a prison farm.
Which means that you just have to do a lot of work.
And tend hang out to with some turkeys.
Yeah, they're like, this guy's the turkey whisperer. Okay, what I'm going to do. I know you're a king turkey.
Yeah, I'm the big turkey.
Why are you whispering? I've got really small ears. It's hard to hear. I'm a turkey. How do birds hear? That's a question I've never answered. whilst in prison...
What?
Back to the crimes. Whilst in prison, which is Eastham Prison Farm, so that's quite important because he hates this place for the rest of his life. Whilst in prison, young Barrow used a lead pipe to crush the skull of another inmate.
Oh, shit!
Ed Crowder, who was a seriously bad dude who'd been preying upon Clyde and other young inmates and touching them up, so to speak. This was Clyde Barrow. He'd been doing it for over a year and Clyde had enough of it. So this was Clyde Barrow's first killing.
Lead pipe. That is a Cluedo weapon.
Over the head. Crushed it. It is a Cluedo weapon.
Yeah. It is.
But he didn't get in trouble for it because another inmate, Aubrey Scaly, who had also been abused by Crowder, he was already serving a life sentence. He took the blame. But he was actually pardoned by the governor in 1953. So this guy got off and they killed an awful, awful man. Clyde Barrow... Also whilst in prison, convinced another inmate to use an axe to chop off two of his toes in order to excuse him from working hard labour in the field.
To chop off Clyde's toes.
Yeah, so Clyde said, a bit like, you know, with the chopper and a famous Australian criminal famously got another inmate to chop off his ears so he had to go to the hospital ward so he wouldn't be murdered by a gang that he'd pissed off in prison. So he's like the 1920s chopper. So he said, can you chop my toes off so I won't have to work hard labour in the fields? Which worked, I should say. But sadly, unbeknownst to Clyde, his mother successfully petitioned a release for him just 6 days after this intentional injury.
Oh my God.
Barrow would walk for a limp for the rest of his life as a result of not having two toes.
I was
going
to say, you've got to be careful because...
it's balance, right?
Yeah, but like if you lose your big toe, you can't walk properly, right? Like you've got to be careful which toe... Two little ones.
I can't confirm, but he also had to drive barefoot for the rest of his life.
Okay, that has nothing to do with it, surely.
Mate, put a shoe on.
I do that. It's just comfortable sometimes.
Yeah. Because thongs are tricky to work the pedals.
Yeah, so you'd better just take them off.
Yeah, slip them off.
I find it kind of liberating too sometimes.
Yeah,
it feels
really good. Throw your thong off and drive.
Just barefoot on the pedal. It's nice.
Oh, it does feel good.
Yeah.
It's man free. And machine just connecting.
It feels like summer.
Yeah.
You know?
I just want to say for the American
especially
listeners,
in the summertime.
I want to say to the US listeners that thongs are flip-flops. We're not throwing our underwear
the
out
Americans
the window.
Call
I do that.
Thongs flip-flops.
Yes.
I knew that they do call them that some places. It's probably a better word. Flip-flops. Do they even have them though?
Thongs is weird.
Do they have
flip-flops? Yes. They call them jandals in New Zealand.
Jandals, I like that. Jandals.
Jandals is a good word.
Jindles. Jindles.
Jindles.
Jindles.
After Barrow was released...
I don't think any of us nailed that.
No, we did not at all. Sorry, New Zealand listeners.
Hello. No. Hell. I know the vowels are different, but I forget which way.
A is like E.
Should I go on?
Yeah, probably.
Good. after Barrow was released from prison, when he was sort of bailed out by his mum, in February 1932, he and a guy called Ralph Fultz assembled a rotating core group of associates. They began a series of small robberies, primarily of stores and sort of gas stations.
He just doesn't learn, does he?
Oh, no. But because some claimed that Clyde's whole mission in life since being released was to get enough money to break out all the prison inmates of Eastham and exact revenge upon his mistreatment in prison.
Oh.
So that's some people think that he was saving up for.
He's saving up to break everybody out.
Yeah, get a lot of money, get a lot of people, get a lot of weapons, and then just sort of... get revenge upon... Because when he went in, he was just a kid, and when he came out a few years later, he was a
man.
Like a hardened criminal, yeah.
Wow.
Because of, you know, bad stuff that happened in there. On April 19th, Bonnie Parker, who was part of the group with Ralph Fultz, and Fultz himself were captured in a failed hardware store robbery where they intended to steal firearms. And subsequently, they were both convicted and jailed. But Bonnie was released a few months after a grand jury failed to indict her. Fultz, however, was prosecuted and tried, which some would say was a good thing because he served time when he got out of jail, never rejoined the gang. And he did do a few other crimes, but later got clean and lived to be 82 years old.
Oh, good on him.
He is one of the few people in the story that makes it to old age.
Oh, I'll say that. Sorry about
that. That is a spoiler.
On April 30, Clyde was the driver in a robbery, also in Texas, during which the store's owner, J.N. Butcher, B-U-C-H-E-R, he was shot and killed. And when shown mugshots, the victim's wife identified Barrow as one of the shooters, although he'd just been the driver and stayed outside in the car.
Oh.
But this was the first time in the crime spree that Barrow, Clyde, was accused of murder.
Uh-oh.
Bonnie was released, when a jury declined to indict her. Within a few weeks, sadly, she rejoined Clyde and the gang.
Oh, Bonnie.
And in August, whilst Parker, Bonnie, visiting her mother in Dallas, Clyde, a guy called Raymond Hilton, and Ross Dyer were drinking alcohol at a country dance when a sheriff and his deputy approached them in the parking lot. Not a good thing because Barrow, Clyde, and Hamilton opened fire, killing the deputy and gravely wounding the sheriff.
This was I shot the sheriff,
but
I did not shoot the deputy.
It's actually the other way around, I'm afraid.
Wait,
I shot the deputy, but I did not. I gravely wounded the sheriff would be more accurate.
Is that what that song's about? Yeah.
Yes, let's go with it. Oh. This was the first time Clyde and his gang killed a lawman.
Well, it's the first time for everything. You've got to kill a lawman at some point, don't you? Hey?
It would all catch up with the gang member Raymond Hamilton, who's one of those guys that just shot a sheriff, because by the time he was 21 years old, he accumulated a prison sentence of 362 years.
That's it. Okay, hang on. I'm no good at maths. 362 years divided by the average lifetime. He's never getting out of prison.
He's still in.
He's still there.
No, he's not, because he was executed on May 10, 1935.
But his corpse will see out the sentence.
That's right. They make him stay in the prison cell and rot. Oh. He was electrocuted by electric chair. Hamilton, he walked calmly and firmly to the chair, seated himself with the words, "Well, goodbye all."
Oh, yeah, nah, cool.
So, real badass, badass.
If you're gonna... if
jolly good.
Yeah. Okay, bye.
I like it was sort of quite... it sounded like polite, old-timey... language.
Well, goodbye, everyone.
And I imagine he would have tipped his cap.
He tips the metal thing on top. You know, the bit.
Dips me lid.
Tips the electric chair lid. Oh, dear.
Yuck.
So he's gone. But another guy in the story, W.D.
Jones. W.D.
Jones. So he's going to become part of the gang. He'd been a friend of Clyde and the Barrow family since childhood. And when he was only 16 years old on Christmas Eve 1932, he persuaded Clyde to let him join him and Bonnie. And he left Dallas with them that night. The next day, W.D. Jones was initiated when he and Barrow killed Doyle Johnson, a young family man, while stealing the guy's car, also in Texas.
Oof.
Less than 2 weeks later in January, Barrow killed Tarrant County Deputy Sheriff Malcolm Davis when he, Parker, and Jones wandered into a police trap set for another criminal, which is quite unfortunate.
God. I should have been keeping a tally of how many people he's killed.
I've got it written here. The total murdered by the gang since April was 5.
Okay.
So in 9 months, they've killed 5 people. So then
body count.
Not great people.
Body, yeah. I've got a tally going.
Body count.
It's a nice even number for you so far, Jeff.
So at the moment, we've got W.D. Jones, Clyde Barrow, Bonnie Parker, but they need more of a gang. So in March 1933, Clyde's brother, Buck.
Great.
Buck Barrow. He was released from prison when granted a full pardon. So the prisons were really full at this time, I should say. That's why everyone was getting a pardon, because they just didn't have enough places. So people were getting like 25-year sentences. And then they're like, after 4 years, oh, we need the bed. So they're just sending him back out there.
But who do you choose to get rid of? You know, who you're like, oh, well, like, surely you'd prioritise some of the pettier crimes.
How about a really honest guy?
Really honest.
Let me tell you about Buck. Buck stopped going to school at around age 8 or 9 because he enjoyed fishing and hunting far better, quote.
Sure.
Buck stopped with him.
Oh, very good. Have you been waiting for that?
Only a few seconds.
He was the one, I should say, who was driving the...
Worth the wait.
the truck full of stolen turkeys.
Oh, okay.
So this, sure. He was the driver. So Buck had met a lady called Blanche.
Oh.
Blanche. And fallen in love with her just days before being shot and arrested during a burglary gone wrong. And not wanting to be away from his new love, he escaped from prison by simply walking out the door.
Yeah, good plan.
Stole the guard's car, drove to his parents' place in West Dallas where Blanche was living. They got married whilst he was on the run. But Blanche wasn't interested in a criminal career, so she and members of his family urged him to turn himself in. So 2 days after Christmas 1931, his mother and wife drove him up to the gate of Huntsville Penitentiary Prison, where he told the surprise officer officials that he had escaped almost 2 years before and needed to resume his sentence. Well, they welcomed him in.
Amazing.
So what?
That is, I like that. I like how it's just like, oh, yeah.
Oh,
I remember you.
Yeah. Where have you been?
Yeah, great. Good to have you back.
Come in, mate.
Turkeys are still there waiting for you, mate. Don't worry about that.
A few things have changed. We've got a new cook, but you will love Sloppy Joe Wednesdays.
Oh,
so much fun. That guy who used to rape everybody, he's gone.
Yeah, we clubbed him good. We clubbed him good.
He is full dead.
You'll find it's actually quite a nice community now.
Yeah.
There's a crocheting club. Anyway, you'll figure it out.
Yeah, you'll be right. Come on.
Did you want your old bed base same room? All right, come on in.
Hey, everyone! Buck's back!
Yay!
His room's still the same. Still got the same posters on the wall.
Yeah,
warden used to go in there and just smell his sheets. Just imagining. Remember those times?
The turkey whisperer.
I hope he's okay wherever he is.
Buck and... So they're now Buck and Blanche Barrow. That's pretty good.
That's pretty
good. BB and BB. So he was released, Buck. And I said Blanche didn't want a criminal career.
Oh, no.
But he didn't stay clean because upon his release in March 1933, Buck, in the company of Blanche... which I love that name, joined the younger brother Clyde, Bonnie Parker, and W.D. Jones in Missouri, where he participated in several armed robberies.
Oh, come on, Buck.
He went from burglary to armed robbery very, very quickly.
Then why put yourself back into prison then?
Yeah.
You know, if you're just going to
turn... You've done your time, I know.
And they didn't even seem to care that he wasn't there.
Yeah, I think that's how full it was. They're like, oh yeah, what have you been? Oh, dear.
So you,
I like how you're like, they didn't seem to care. I mean, in our act out, they didn't.
Yeah. mean, yeah, very true.
You've just locked that in. That's exactly how it happened.
Yeah. Dave just handed us a script, which someone dictated at the time. And,
was he being pursued? You didn't seem like he was in hiding. There was obviously forms for when he got married, so there was records of him doing things. Wouldn't have been that hard to find him.
No, and he was hanging out in his parents' house.
Yeah, they didn't look very hard, did they?
That is amazing.
That's what I meant.
For 2 years. It's not like he was there for... You know how these days a criminal gets out for like 12 hours and everyone... This guy was gone for 2 years and then handed himself in.
Yeah.
It sounds like he would have been free. Like that was...
Yeah, he was fine. That's what I mean.
And then he did two
more
years.
He went back in, learnt some bad stuff again.
And then became an armed robber like the next day.
This guy's an idiot.
Oh, Buck. The group now five strong. So you got Blanche, you got Buck, you got Clyde, you got Bonnie, you got WD. They attracted the attention of law enforcement, not from crimes, but from their loud, laddish behaviour.
Laddish.
They would drink... I just put that word in, to be honest. That was not a popular word back in the 1930s. They would drink heavily and party into the night, playing card games quite loudly.
How do you play card games loudly?
Snap!
And this was in a very...
Go fish!
What?
Keep it down.
Well, this is a very quiet area of town, so they told the sheriff and the lawman...
Checkmate!
They told the lawman, who assembled five-man...
No, Jess, that is a different...
Oh, I apologise.
It's not cards at all.
I'm not good at games.
Or is it? Probably. I'm sure there's a card game that you could see.
Anyway.
I'm sorry about that.
Do go on, Dave.
You're fine. Thank you. The lawmen... I love this, lawman. Assembled a five-man car force in two cars in April to confront what they suspected were bootleggers living in the garage apartment. So they didn't know that they were a wanted armed robbery gang. So they sort of surrounded them. But in their escape, Clyde, Jones and Buck quickly killed a detective, McGinnis, and fatally wounded another one, Constable Harriman.
Fatally wounded? That's another two.
Oh, fatally wounded.
Yeah, so two more.
Two more.
The gang escaped, but what they did was they left behind, because it was such a kerfuffle, most of their possessions in the apartment. Items included Buck and Blanche's marriage license, so now they know who they are.
Uh-oh.
Buck's parole papers, which were only 3 weeks old. He's been out for 3 weeks. A large arsenal of weapons, so they lost a lot of weapons. A handwritten poem by Bonnie. She apparently liked to write poems.
Sure.
She didn't. It wasn't typed up on her iMac Pro.
Unbelievably not.
Wouldn't hold that as high as the parole papers or the wedding certificate, though. Just a fucking poem. Just write another one, you dumb bitch.
Look, I mean, you've really turned on her there, and I don't remember Dave ever saying that she was going, hey, forget that other shit, I need my poem back. You're dumb.
I love that.
That is brutal.
How many people have they killed so far? Seven.
Seven.
They've killed seven people, and your biggest fault with her is that she's left some poetry behind. You dumb bit. Not you callous cow. You killer. All this. It's like, nah, poetry. I draw the line. But I will say the most important thing for history that they left behind was a camera with several rolls of undeveloped film because Bonnie Parker was sort of a budding amateur photographer. She'd been taking a lot of photos on their journey. The film was developed at the Joplin Globe, which is a local newspaper, and yielded many now infamous photos of Bonnie and Clyde and Jones, who were clowning around in the photos, pointing weapons at one another. And they published both the poem and the photos.
Oh, so the poem plays a part.
That's right. And the poem was about them being on the run. Oh, so it made her look like a real badass. And one of the photos, which is very famous, and I will tweet this photo probably when we put the episode out, included one of Bonnie clenching a cigar in her teeth and a pistol in her other hand. And it went out in the newly installed Newswire, so across the country. And so now the obscure five criminals from Dallas suddenly became front page news across America, and they were dubbed the Barrow Gang.
Okay, well, if I may, I would like to issue a formal apology to Bonnie.
That's right. I will accept on behalf of her.
I jumped onto the poem thing. I called her a dumb bitch.
Yeah.
And then it all tied together and it made sense why Dave mentioned it, because it was published in the newspaper.
Exactly. That's the point, right? She is now a published poet.
Yeah, she's a published poet.
That's more than I could say.
Which is...
None of my poetry has been published.
Have you ever had a photo of you with a cigar and a handgun published on the front page of most newspapers in the US?
I have not. I have not. So...
Have you written much poetry, Jeff?
Yeah.
That's so disappointing. Sadly, yes, I have.
It's real sad.
Have you got any off the top of your head?
This cheery demeanour, it's a facade.
That sounds like the opening line of a poem, doesn't it? This cheery demeanour is quite a facade.
Mm.
Next line, please.
And then Dave raps the rest.
Please don't, Dave.
My ghetto gospel.
Please don't.
So, yeah, I just want to apologise to Bonnie. No, I will not share my poetry because it won't be as good as hers, and the world isn't ready for my poetry.
I don't think they're ready for Bonnie's either, because she suddenly became very... they became famous overnight, but they were especially surprised because in the photo she looks like a real badass. She didn't actually smoke cigars, and there's debate over whether she actually ever fired guns in the robberies.
Oh, wow.
Before that, the media was surprised that a woman could be such a badass, so that's why it became such a big news story. And suddenly she looked like a cigar-smoking, gun-toting, crazy woman.
Yep.
When in reality, not so much.
She's a total sweetie pie.
It's good because, like you said, they were just clowning around in the photos. They were 20-something-year-old kids mucking about.
Yeah, so at this stage they're about 21,
killing
20...
killing people, but mucking about.
Mucking about 21, 22 years old.
We've all gone through that phase.
Ah.
Yeah, remember that time you killed 7 police officers in one calendar year, Matt?
Yes.
I said it was
sorry. Banging on about
it? I said it was sorry. Stop bringing it up. So they became famous outlaws, committed robberies, and even kidnapped lawmen. Love that word. Sometimes civilians when stealing their cars, but they usually release their hostages far from home, sometimes with money to help them get back to where they were going. So stories of encounters like this made headlines for the gang, but so did their more violent episodes. So sometimes people would tell the story and people would laugh about, oh, they let people go with money. But then other times, the Barrow Gang did not hesitate to shoot anyone, civilians or officers, who got in their way. And eventually the cold-bloodedness of their killings soured the public perception of the outlaws. So there was a bit of initial, people are into it, like fascinated by it.
But
when they start hearing about several police officers and civilians getting gunned down.
For no reason.
Yeah, then suddenly the...
Well, it wasn't no reason.
People got
stealing
over
their cars.
And they were in the way.
Yeah, they were in
the way.
Sorry,
yeah, of course. Sorry, yeah, no. God, I should have known, Jess. Come on.
Of course.
Jeez, you've really got it in for this Bonnie and Clyde gang, don't you,
Jess? I hate them.
hate them so much. Well, I'm going to say that it's not going to... It's going to get worse before it gets any better, guys. It's
good.
But it will get better.
Good.
Yep. Yep. Okay.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So they were now famous, but this wasn't actually good for the gang. Because they didn't ever want to be famous, but now they were famous, so they couldn't hide anywhere. Because they'd be recognized at any motels or restaurants. Before, they could just rob a gas station, then go into a town.
Sure.
No one knows. There's a group of five people.
What a bummer.
But now they had to pretty much live and cook in their car and on the side of the road.
Cook in your car? Come on, why are you animals? Cooking in cars?
Turkeys have been doing that for years. There are 78-ton trucks.
Such a big turkey, so big. One day, Clyde was driving and he missed a sign saying a bridge was out and he had a very, very bad car accident that left Bonnie with serious third-degree burns to her right leg, so severe that the muscles contracted and caused the leg to draw up. And some people report that she got battery acid poured over her leg.
Oh, shit.
And then in some places you could see her bone.
Oh, but then, like, they couldn't have taken her to hospital.
No, so that's the thing. So throughout the rest of her life, she struggled to walk and either hopped or was often carried by Clyde, who he himself struggled to walk. So now it's a guy with a limp carrying a girl with a limp. So it's getting more and more desperate for them. They hid for a while to try and treat her burns as best they could, but, to get more money, Buck and Jones, WD, bungled a local robbery and killed a town marshal. And with their renewed pursuit by the law, they had to flee despite Bonnie's serious injuries.
Oh. And this is all just because she had the hots for this boy. Yeah. See, this is why I'll die alone. Because
no boy is worth this.
No boy is worth getting battery acid poured all over my right leg. There, I said it.
You'll say it?
Jess, take it back.
No.
You're being hasty.
Nah.
You're jumping to conclusions. Remind this could me. All work out well.
Yeah, come on.
The acid exactly. might end up being like a
superpower.
Yeah, or something that maybe she'll one day...
Or maybe she had cancer in her right leg and she'll have it removed anyway.
She had it burnt off, saved her life.
Have you thought about that, Jess?
No, because that's ridiculous.
The cancer was burnt by the battery acid. There's no proof that that didn't happen.
Love isn't real.
Exactly. Is there proof that didn't happen? Love is a battlefield, and so is being on the run.
Yeah.
Poetry. I think you would agree, being the poet laureate of the podcast.
Oh, laureate.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Pretty impressive.
That is impressive.
Sorry, no, poet lorikeet.
Oh, poet lorikeet. Pardon me, sorry.
Mm. I know that means more than the other one.
I don't have a way with words like you do. Mm.
Please do go on.
Thank you. The gang rented a place in Missouri to try and settle down again. That consisted of two cabins joined by a garage in the middle. But they weren't very good, I will say, at not drawing attention to themselves. So this is some of the things they did.
Are they playing card games loudly again?
No, even worse than bingo and
fish. Were they shooting cards again?
How could it be worse than loud card playing? Is there...
Well, they just acted rather suspiciously. They said it was for three people to live in, but then five got out of the car in front of the landlord and went inside the house. And he was like, oh, okay, that's weird. Why didn't you just say five? It would have been cool with it. Okay. They paid wholly in coins... Not in notes, which is easy to track. I love this. They backed into the garage, quote, gangster style for a quick getaway.
Oh, that's great.
Gangster style.
So if the cops come, you can just drive through the door of the garage, which is pretty cool.
That's great.
I back into car parks a lot. I didn't know I was
gangster style.
My dad parks his car in the garage gangster style.
Wow.
I often pay for things with coins. Gangster style.
Like chewing gum.
Yeah. Coffees. Yeah.
Small goods. You know.
Laundry.
Items under $5.
Machines that take only coins. Yeah. You know how it is. Mm-hmm. They put newspaper on all of the windows.
Okay.
That's a bit sus, right?
Nobody likes with the newspaper
with their pictures on them.
But perhaps, yeah, exactly. And people are looking at the newspaper going, hang on. That's you. No, but most suspiciously of all, I think we can all agree, Buck's wife, Blanche, decided that she would wear jodhpur horse riding pants, which apparently was uncommon in the area, Missouri, and people interviewed remembered this fact 40 years later.
That she used to wear
jodhpur pants, which they, quote, thought was suspicious.
Yeah,
see, this is like the Mary Poppins lady wearing pants again, you know?
Just suspicious. Something's going on with Blanche.
But it's not just pants that she's wearing. She's wearing jodhpurs. You don't even have a horse. Why are you wearing horse riding
pants?
For
a quick getaway. She could get on a horse at any moment and ride away.
Jodhpurs. Good on her, I say.
Imagine them all. They're all wearing... Clyde's wearing like a racing outfit. One's got like a pilot uniform. One's like, just get on the closest charter
Bonnie's,
plane.
Bonnie's dressed as a pirate with a peg leg. Because her leg doesn't work.
Oh, she's fucked. So the landlord, the guy who was suspicious of them putting the newspapers up, gangster style, paying in coins, told the sheriff, who was also suspicious.
And wearing a pirate costume.
Well, after putting the place under surveillance, I can only imagine wearing camouflage outfit, he organised a group of officers who approached the cabin with machine guns and an armoured car.
That's excessive.
Imagine a 1930s armoured car.
Okay.
It'd be pretty cool.
That would be a cool car.
So they approached and surrounded the building, but their machine guns were outmatched at a distance by Clyde's rifle. He had a really powerful rifle that he'd stolen. He was able to hold them off. So the Barrow gang, they laid down fire and escaped when a bullet short-circuited the horn on the armoured car and the lawman mistook it for a ceasefire signal.
That's amazing.
They drove out gangster style, and the law guys did not pursue the retreating Barrow vehicle.
They didn't follow them.
No, they were like, oh, see ya.
They're like, oh no, they're driving away.
You forgot your newspapers.
But they drove out gangster style. Surely that would have told them something.
Hang on. Maybe these guys are the criminals we're looking for. Although the gang had evaded the law again, Buck had sustained a gruesome and ultimately mortal bullet wound to his head.
Ugh.
That blasted a large hole in his forehead.
Ew.
Skull bone.
Ew.
Actually exposed his injured brain.
Get out.
Ooh. Blanche, his wife, was nearly blinded by glass fragments in both her eyes.
Oh, both? What are the chances?
No, so they were both, both in a really bad way.
I mean, one eye's bad enough,
but come on, Blanche!
Honestly, I'd be opening the door and pushing them out. You guys are liabilities now. Thanks.
Well, they are. Five days later, the gang was camped at an abandoned amusement park. Spooky. Scooby-Doo style.
I think my favourite one is, spooky.
Spooky. Buck was going in and out of consciousness, but every now and then...
5 days later, he's still alive.
But he could still speak when he was conscious. He could still speak. But his massive head wound...
You can see his brain.
Yeah, so bad.
He should be dead.
He'd lost a lot of blood.
You should give him a pity bullet to the brain.
Yeah, well, put him out.
Clyde and Jones had dug a grave for him because they thought he was going anytime now.
Brutal.
Just kill him. If you're digging the grave... Why make him live in pain?
Put him out of his misery.
You can't kill your brother because he's conscious every now and then. He'd wake up every 5 minutes and they'd have a gun to his head. They're like, oh, shit, sorry.
And what's he saying? No, I'll be all right.
I'll be fine.
I'll be right. Don't worry about me.
I just need a drink of water.
Yeah, you know, this will heal over. I just imagine that slowly the skin just heals over like a little graze on your knee.
I don't think that's how it happens.
I don't think so. Well, the bloody bandages, which there were a lot of, an injured Buck, so people could see his wound, caught the attention of locals who told the police they were quickly identified as the Barrow Gang.
Hey, there's just a guy down the road whose brain I can see quite clearly skull.
That's a bit sus.
Yeah,
what are they up to?
Also, it's an abandoned amusement park. Spooky. Bit suspicious. Local lawmen and approximately 100 spectators surrounded the group, and the Barrows soon came under fire again. Bonnie, Clyde, and WD escaped on foot, but poor old Buck was shot in the back.
Oh my god. And he lived!
And he and his wife Blanche were captured by the officers. Buck hung on for another 5 days before dying.
Oh my God,
shot
Buck.
In the back. When he got shot in the head.
Surely, did they get him to a hospital? Like, I imagine it's something that could be fixed.
No, they got into a hospital, but he got sick and he just wasn't going to get better.
They just put a new head, like a new top of his head.
Give him a new skull.
Were they doing that back then?
I don't think they were in the 1930s.
I don't think they're doing that now.
I think you can get a skull transplant.
I reckon you can get a replacement, like false skull.
Yeah, you can get like a replacement, but I don't think they were doing that.
Oh, it's like a can you do that now?
Hard plastic bowl or something.
I kind of wanted one of those.
Yeah, or like a piece of metal. Yeah.
Yeah.
When I was getting migraines really badly, my dad one time, I said, I wish I could have a head transplant. And he said, but then you wouldn't have your beautiful face. Aww. And I said, oh, thanks, Dad. And continued to throw up because the migraines made me throw up a lot.
So from what I know about your relationship with your dad so Spooky. Far, Jess, is mm-hmm. he thinks you had a beautiful face uh-huh. and beautiful pins.
Yeah. Yes.
What
correct.
What a great guy.
That's real. That's very great sweet. Pins. But, I mean, if I was the middle part of your body... I'd be like, what's up, Dad? What about me arms?
What do you think of me arms,
What do you think
Dad?
Of me arms? What about me shoulders? You know, et cetera.
Hmm.
Oh. I wouldn't ask that, but that feels a bit weird.
You just approach your dad with a clipboard with every part of your body. Yeah. Good or bad? Tell me. Tell me. Nose? You like it? Should I keep it?
Covered by the
that's
face?
Part of my
I think
head.
That's okay.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Okay, pardon me. I forgot that. Shoulder blades? No. Ankles? You like them?
What part of the legs.
Yeah.
Toes?
Okay.
Let's go individually. Big toe. Second biggest toe.
Keep it.
Keep them all.
Middle toe. Out. All right. That's all right. A weird thing.
Over the next 6 weeks, the remaining three members, so which is Bonnie, Clyde, and WD.
Sure.
They roamed far and wide committing small crimes when they needed the money. So they restocked their weapons and ammunition when they raided an armory in Illinois. So they're sort of traveling around and they're not doing big jobs anymore, just enough to get by.
They've got WD with them. Why does everybody only remember Bonnie and Clyde?
Yeah.
Is it because of the romance factor?
Well, we're going to get to WD
here. WD's going to die. WD's going to die, and then it'll just be Bonnie and Clyde. That's where it is, Matt. Matt, do you reckon WD's going to die?
I reckon, yeah. But
Jonesy's dead.
I'm wondering about this armory. How good of an armory is it?
Okay.
If people are raiding it.
Yeah, like, surely... not very good.
Hey, these guys are pretty good. It's Bonnie and Clyde we're talking about. Even though
a couple of hobbly bloody...
I know, exactly. They can't even walk either of them. By early September, they risked a run to Dallas to see their families for the first time in many months. Jones, WD, continued on to Houston to visit his own mother and was arrested there without incident on November 16th.
Oh.
Through the autumn, so WD's gone. Through the autumn...
But not dead.
Not dead.
He's not yet. On the body count. What's the body count at?
Well, I was only at 7 because that's just how many people Clyde had murdered.
Yeah.
I was going for just Clyde.
Oh, right. I reckon...
But it's higher.
You should count the, like, Buck as well. Just count all death.
All death, but... Look, we've already passed a lot of death.
Well, let's say...
Too late now. We missed about... Too late now.
I reckon add 6.
Add 6?
And then...
7 in brackets plus 6. Do a plus 6 for Matt at the end.
Plus 6. Great, got it.
Through the autumn, Clyde executed a series of small-time robberies with a series of local accomplices while his family and Parkers attended to her now considerable medical needs. So she was having a big rest and Clyde was still doing different crimes with different people.
He just can't help himself.
No, he really can't.
He can't just take a holiday.
He can't.
He's a workaholic.
January 1934, Clyde orchestrated the escape of... Raymond Hamilton, who's that young guy serving 362 years, who's going to get electrocuted later on, and a guy called Henry Methvin.
Methvin.
Methvin, who we'll talk about later. You might want to write him down.
Okay. Thanks for the tip.
Henry Methvin.
We still haven't got to Ted Hinton, though.
No, we'll get there.
Henry Methvin.
Methvin. We'll talk about a little bit later. And several others. So they escaped Raymond, Henry, and several others in the now infamous... if you're a big fan of crime, East Ham breakout of 1934.
Ah, what a year it was.
Great year.
So remember how he wanted to break people out of prison?
Yeah, it was a dream.
So Barrow, Clyde, seemed to have achieved what historian Phillips described as his overriding goal, revenge on the Texas Department of Corrections. So he got his mates out. He was pretty happy. But during the prison break, a high-ranking officer was shot and later died.
Yes.
This attracted... the full power of the Texas and federal government for the manhunt for Bonnie and Clyde.
Oh, so they finally go, all right, that's enough.
So I think he shot like a really high-ranking guy, and they're like, no.
Come on.
I've had enough of this.
You can shoot some of our low-level plebs.
Yeah, but the lawmen, the marshals,
top
and the
lawmen.
But honestly, this guy, this desk jockey deserved more.
But the local guys Those desk jockeys weren't enough to capture Bonnie and Clyde. They realized this. So the Texas Department of Corrections called in Texas Ranger Captain Frank A. Hamer, H-A-M-E-R, a retired ranger.
Is that who Hamer Hall is named after?
Very doubtful, because this is Texas and Hamer Hall's in Melbourne.
Interesting.
Ah,
all right.
That's a good fact.
That Hamer Hall is probably not named after Captain Frank A. Hamer.
No, he meant that we're in Melbourne.
All right.
Ah, I missed that. That's good. I'm writing that down.
We are in Melbourne.
Write that down. Methvin.
Methvin. I got him.
Captain Frank A. Hamer, he was retired, but he was given the task, one last job, taking Bonnie, Clyde, and the Barrow Gang. A big guy. For 20 years, Hamer had been a feared and admired ranger throughout Texas. He had, quote, acquired a formidable reputation as a result of several spectacular captures and the shootings of a number of Texas criminals. He was officially credited with 53 kills and had suffered 17 wounds along the way.
53. Now we're cooking on the body count.
Oh, you're going to add another plus 53. In short, I'm just trying to paint the picture that Frank Hamer is a real badass and you don't want him on your tail.
I like him. Why aren't there more movies about Frank Hamer?
Yeah.
He is in the Bonnie and Clyde movie, we'll say that.
Yeah, Jess wants more.
I want a biopic.
Well, I mean, he's killed 53 people, been shot 17 times. That's a story there.
Yeah. He's pretty cool.
And he's got the Hamer Hall in Melbourne.
Yeah.
Well, he's got some credit then, obviously. Hmm. Starting in February, Hamer became the constant shadow of Bonnie and Clyde, living out of his own car, just a town or two behind the bandits. So he's following them everywhere.
Well, just, like, follow them quicker.
That is a really, because I assume he's doing that to, so they don't realize he's tailing them. You know how they normally hold back a little bit? I think two towns is a bit too far.
Yeah.
Like,
if you're just trying to stay out of the rearview mirror, probably.
Fine.
Probably two streets, or even, you know, 50 meters, not two towns.
Two towns.
Don't want to tell this guy how to do his job.
Yeah, true.
53 kills.
53, how many kills have you done? What do we say? Seven.
Nowhere near that many.
He knows
seven,
what he's doing.
Seven police officers, I believe, we said, attributed to you before.
Six.
Six in one calendar year, though.
Seven. You're
seven.
Right.
Thank
Sorry.
You.
Yeah, it was seven. Lucky seven. I call that my lucky year.
Mm-hmm.
Pew, pew. Then we come to an ominous part of the story, which is ominously called the Grapevine Murders.
Gross.
In April, so the guys... Frank's been trailing them for a couple of months now. On Easter Sunday, Clyde and Henry Methvin, mm-hmm. was the guy he escaped, killed two young highway patrolmen near Grapevine in Texas, two more. An eyewitness account stated that Barrow and Parker, who's Bonnie, fired the fatal shots, and this story got widespread coverage before it was discredited.
Ah.
So the Grapevine killings were recounted in exaggerated detail, affecting public perception of the gang. So all four Dallas Daily papers, the big ones in Texas, seized on the story told by this eyewitness, a farmer who claimed that he'd seen Bonnie Parker laugh at the way Patrolman Murphy's head, quote, bounced like a rubber ball, unquote, on the ground as she shot him.
Bonnie. Oh.
So she wasn't even there, but this guy said that, and then the story got circulated. Several days later...
Do you think they mean like one of those super bouncy rubber balls? You know, those ones that just...
Because
fly into the air. That'd be. That I would laugh at that as well.
That would be funny.
You know those ones, the Super Bowls, and they go like 20 meters in the air. That would be.
That
like,
would be funny.
If and you it bounced see that, a little bit less every time.
Yeah, yeah. Try not to laugh at that.
But even there. Like even though you'd
it's
still
me
be
laugh now,
shaking at the adrenaline of shooting someone, you'd still bloody laugh at that.
Yeah, you'd be
That's
tickled.
Funny.
No doubt about that.
You'd
hey,
be tickled.
Guys, funny's funny.
Yeah.
Don't forget that.
Yeah. Oh, never. Got that tattooed on my arm.
Have you got a tattoo since we last spoke?
No, not yet.
Give it time. I will say this. This is sad. So several days later, one of the officers who was shot, his fiancée wore her intended wedding dress to his funeral.
Creepy.
Sparking photos and newspaper coverage. The eyewitness's ever-changing story was soon discredited, the one that said he saw the bouncing head and the laughing, but the massive negative publicity against Bonnie in particular increased in the public the outcry for extermination of Ooh. The survivors of the Barrow Gang. So the public perception has really tipped. Now they even want the female of the group shot.
Even the female?
Which at
Bloody
the time...
hell.
I will say this. They got Frank Hamer to come in. He was the third person they asked to pursue the first two guys. That's why he had to come out of retirement, because the two rangers they asked said they wouldn't shoot a woman.
Aww.
But he was like, I'm Frank Hamer. I'll shoot anything. I've killed 53 people. What is there to lose now?
Yeah. I'll shoot anything.
Give me a gun.
I'll shoot a lady. No problem.
Yeah.
The highway patrol boss of the two guys that were just shot, including the one whose fiancée went to his funeral in the wedding dress.
Sorry, creepy. Don't go to the funeral in your wedding dress. What a psycho bitch. I think, if anything, he dodged, well, while he was hit by a bullet, he also dodged another bullet.
Oh, dear.
Because that bitch be crazy.
But his boss...
She was heartbroken, yeah. Jess.
She was crazy.
I know you've decided never to fall in love, mm-hmm. but don't take it out on other people who have...
Happiness?
Don't resent other people's happiness wearing their wedding dress at their
to
partner's
funeral.
Don't resent them that happiness, Jess.
I'm not resenting her.
Maybe you'll never wear your soon-to-be wedding dress at your partner's funeral.
No, I won't.
Maybe you won't.
I won't.
That's your choice.
She crazy is all I'm saying.
Oh,
Dave,
okay, sure.
Please do go on.
Crazy in love.
All I am trying to say, guys, is that the boss of the two guys patrolmen killed offered a $1,000 reward, which is a lot of money, for the bodies of the grapevine killers. Usually a wanted sign would say dead or alive, but he stated he just wanted the bodies. Then the Texas governor said, hey, I'll chuck another $500 on that bounty. So the lawmen, so to speak, are getting pretty upset that so many of them are being killed. Public hostility increased 5 days later when Barrow and Henry Methvin killed 60-year-old Constable William Campbell, a widowed single father.
60-year-old Constable? Bloody hell, mate.
I know.
Climb the ladder. 60-year-old Constable.
Brutal. Come on.
Nah, they did him a favour. Unless... Honestly. No, hang on. Unless... He had a different career.
Yeah, he came to it.
Maybe he was a pharmacist.
Came to it later. Then, a farmer or pharmacist, either or the farmers.
He joined the police at 55.
All right. The only good things about old police is that they're hardened old police. What? Like, when you're an old newbie policeman, you don't have experience or fitness. You're the worst of both worlds.
Yeah.
Honestly,
no,
does
right.
this guy
Fuck
die?
Him.
I hope he does.
Yeah, he's dead.
He's on the body count.
Of course he is. Like, he sounds like the most useless person in this whole story. And that includes the guy without a head.
And Bonnie without a leg.
Yeah.
Well, fair enough. Apparently, Matt has spoken. Well, I'll try and see if we can out-useless him with the remaining few people in the story. The gang kidnapped Commerce Police Chief Percy Boyd. They drove around with him, crossing the state line into Kansas. They let him go, giving him a clean shirt, a few dollars, and a request from Parker to tell the world she did not smoke cigars.
Yeah, no, her priorities are spot on.
That was the one thing about the articles.
But seriously, I don't.
I don't do it. It's bad for you.
I hate them. I will not be associated with those big corporate bastards.
I don't want to be associated with anything that causes premature death.
Especially cigars. Speaking of premature death, the Dallas Journal ran a cartoon on its editorial page showing the Texas electric chair empty, but with a sign on it saying "Reserved" and "Clyde and Bonnie" underneath it.
See, that's where they went wrong. It's Bonnie and Clyde, isn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't that funny that it did switch the other way? On May 19th, Henry Methvin is one of the guys they broke out of jail before, and has been hanging around killing with them. Let's be honest. He was sent into a diner to get some sandwiches for the gang. Whilst he was at the counter, a police car passed the diner and Clyde panicked and drove off, leaving Methvin behind. He hitchhiked to Ruston, where his parents were living at the time. Methvin told his father that the gang had planned a spot for a rendezvous in the event that any of the gang were separated. Methvin was supposed to meet the gang on a deserted stretch of highway, but a certain place. His father, Ivan, who was being harassed by the law because of his son's connection to the gang, told of this meeting place to a Louisiana sheriff, who then passed it on to our main man, Ranger Frank Hamer. In exchange for the info, the older Methvin was promised that his son would not get the death penalty for the murders of the troopers in Grapevine 2 months earlier. Oh. So he made a deal for his son. Then on May 23, 1934... the older Methvin, Ivan Methvin, parked his truck near the meeting spot and removed one of the wheels as if he was removing a flat tire. when Bonnie and Clyde stopped to assist Methvin because they recognised his father, their friend's father.
That is brutal.
It was actually an ambush as Hamer and six men were hiding in bushes across the other side of the road. The lawman immediately opened fire, killing Barrow and Parker, Bonnie and Clyde, instantly.
Jeez, that came out of nowhere, Dave. I needed a little bit more of a warning before.
It's just heroes. Over.
That's it.
Well, they were shot. They shot a total of 130 rounds at the two people.
Oh, boy.
They were trying to help out a guy with a flat tire.
Yeah, it's pretty bad, isn't it?
Oh.
One of the seven shooters was postal worker turned sheriff one Ted Hilton.
Ted!
From the beginning of the program, the guy who had had a crush on Bonnie, who, according to a statement made by Hinton after the shooting, this is a long statement, but he wrote, but it describes the situation, each of us six officers had a shotgun and an automatic rifle and pistols. We opened fire with the automatic rifles. They were emptied before the car got even with us, before the car really even stopped. Then we used our shotguns. There was smoke coming from the car, and it looked like it was on fire. After shooting the shotguns, we emptied the pistols at the car, which had passed us and ran into a ditch about 50 yards on down the road. It had almost turned over. We kept shooting at the car even after it stopped. We weren't taking any chances.
Man, they were so afraid of him.
Yeah, so
a couple of people who can't even walk properly.
Yeah, no, they probably couldn't even get out of the car, to be honest. Researchers have said Bonnie and Clyde were shot more than 50 times each.
Oof.
How many shots were fired?
130 rounds.
Oh, yeah.
And 50 hit. Well, that's not too bad.
Yeah.
50 each. That's 100.
Though,
not too many wasted bullets.
Officially, the parish coroner, who sort of examined their bodies, reported that 17 separate entrant wounds on Clyde's body and 26 on Parker's, including several headshots on each. So they were shot a lot.
They were dead. They were definitely dead.
That's the way to go.
They weren't doing a buck and like living through that. Sort of,
nah. If you're going to go one way, it's just to get fucking killed. Now.
The Undertaker had difficulty embalming the bodies because of all the bullet holes.
Why is he embalming them? Chuck them in a hole. Move on with your lives.
Brutal.
Chuck them in a hole.
I'll get to where they're buried.
They're going to give them an open casket funeral. Yeah, Why are you embalming them?
Several headshots.
It's very strange.
Yeah, why would you bother packing their asses?
I would not pack their asses.
Not if you paid me.
You could not pay me enough. You could.
Oh, man, you'd have to pay me a lot to shut up. To pack a bullet-riddled body with
a life-changing amount of money, I would pack a bullet-riddled asshole.
You putting that on record?
I'm putting that on record.
You taking offers? What are we talking?
What's life-changing?
50,000 or?
No, I'm talking millions.
Okay. 12.
Does that put it out of your range?
I can't afford it. I'm sorry.
Well,
then when I die, I might have some great life insurance.
It's true.
What happened next was the temporarily deafened officers that shot so much that they couldn't hear inspected the vehicle and discovered an arsenal of weapons, including stolen automatic rifles, sawn-off automatic shotguns, handguns, several thousand rounds of ammunition, along with 15 sets of license plates from various states.
Smart.
Word quickly spread of the ambush and a crowd soon gathered. The two sheriffs left to guard the bodies lost control of the jostling, curious crowd. One woman cut off bloody locks of Parker's hair and pieces of her dress, which were subsequently sold as souvenirs.
Disgusting.
Another officer returned to find a man trying to cut off Clyde's trigger finger, and someone was trying to cut off his ear as a memento.
That's disgusting.
Yeah, they were sickened by what was occurring. And
what a time.
Oh, gross.
This is a...
People are sick fucks.
This is a sick bit.
America in the 30s. What a wild place. So how old were they? Like, what year was it and stuff like that?
So this is 1934, May 1934, which makes Clyde 24, Parker 23.
23.
Oh, my God. That is amazing.
Very young.
You fall in with the wrong boys, you get yourself killed.
Yeah.
Better to just be alone forever.
And she wrote a lot of poetry about that. There's a famous poem she wrote called The Story of Bonnie and Clyde, and it sort of writes how they're pretty much waiting to die because they're certain that that's their fate.
Yeah.
Because they killed a lot of people. It's pretty hard to come back from any other way. I did find this interesting. H.D. Darby, a young undertaker who worked for the McClure Funeral Parlor in Houston near where they died.
An ass packer.
She came to... yes, absolutely.
That's a reference to the death episode.
Yeah, look that up. Scenes. Cremation burial, other. They came to Arcadia to identify the bodies of Bonnie and Clyde because they'd been kidnapped by the Barrow Gang the previous year and they'd been released. Parker reportedly, Bonnie had laughed when Darby had said his profession was an undertaker. She remarked that maybe someday he would be working on her.
Oh.
Darby assisted the head undertaker in embalming the outlaws. So oh. It came true. It actually did come true. Bonnie and Clyde, they wished to be buried side by side, but Bonnie's family would not allow it. Mrs. Parker wanted to grant her daughter's final wish, however, to be brought home, but the mob surrounding the Parker house made that impossible. More than 20,000 people attended Bonnie Parker's funeral, and her family had difficulty reaching her gravesite. There were so many people there.
Oh, that's awful.
The life insurance policies of Bonnie Parker and Clyde Barrow were paid in full.
They had life insurance?
Yeah. Since then, the policy of payouts...
I don't have life insurance.
Yeah, but you don't have a really dangerous profession.
Profession?
You don't have a profession.
I don't.
Since then, the policy of payouts has changed to exclude payouts in cases of deaths caused by any criminal act by insurance. So these days, if you're a criminal on the run, don't bother insuring yourself. They're not going to pay.
I can't believe they literally lived out of their car, but they made sure their insurance was up to date.
Hey, they're pretty savvy business guys.
They got stopped by a door-to-door salesman.
In the car knocking on the car door. Hello?
Can I interest
you? Anyone? And they pretend to not be home, but they can see him. That there's five people sleeping inside a car.
I can see you, sir.
I can see you. But I can see your brain, Buck. Answer the fucking door.
I reckon, I really think you'd be interested in this.
Yeah, mate, you've got, what, max 5 days to live? If you get shot in the back, you're done for. The six men of the posse who had shot the ambush were each to receive 1/6, there it is, of the reward money. The Dallas sheriff had promised Ted Hinton that this would total more than $26,000. This is the postal worker from before. But most of the state, county, and other organizations that had pledged rewards reneged on their offers.
Jerks.
So in the end, each lawman received about $200 for his efforts.
Which even back then, not a lot of money.
It's a sizable amount, but Bonnie and Clyde, sometimes they'd rob a bank and they'd get, you know, a couple of thousand in one go. So it's not that much.
Oof.
Who's reneging on that?
It's dodgy ass, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just in the aftermath, one of the reasons that the Barrow Gang had been so successful and eluded capture for a few years is that at the time of the robberies, lawmen from each state couldn't chase them over state line where they no longer had jurisdiction. So Clyde had been a master of pulling a job on one side of the border and then quickly driving across so no one could sort of pull them over, I guess.
Sure.
But by the summer of 1934, the following summer, new federal statutes made bank robbery and kidnapping federal offences. And the growing coordination of local jurisdictions by the FBI overall, plus two-way radios in police cars so they could talk to each other, combined to make the law outlaw bandit sprees much more difficult to carry out. Like, as little as 2 months later, it was pretty impossible to do what they were doing. So this was the end of the public enemies era.
It's interesting that it sounds like if it wasn't for that photo of Bonnie with the cigar, that they wouldn't have become so infamous.
Yeah, they wouldn't have been so famous. That was a big part of their infamy.
Was she a bit of a babe too? Was she
good-looking? Yes, so apparently she was very good looking.
Yeah, that all adds up.
They always are, aren't they, the bad girls?
And he?
He looks pretty good looking in the photos, I guess. Not as good looking as Warren Beatty in the film version.
Of course.
But just to sum up, I will say these aren't fun facts, but two final facts. Okay. Tell me if they're fun. Well, have you guys ever heard of hybristophilia?
Hybristophilia. Hybristophilia. No.
Which is a paraphilia in which sexual arousal and attainment of orgasm are responsive to and contingent to upon being with a partner known to have committed an outrage, cheating, lying, known fidelities, or crime.
Oh, okay. So sort of like people who fall in love with people
in prison. Bad boys, like serial killers getting stuff written to them by people that are attracted to them. It's also known as Bonnie and Clyde syndrome.
Ah.
Named after Bonnie's fascination with Clyde the super bad boy.
He was super bad.
Super bad.
And a boy.
And a boy. Final note, Henry Methven, whose father dobbed in Bonnie and Clyde and ambushed them in exchange for his son to avoid the Grapevine murder charges, which he did. However, his arrangement did not include the murder of Constable Campbell.
Oh, no.
Extradited to Oklahoma, Methven was found guilty of the officer's murder and sentenced to death December
1935. Shit.
His sentence was, however, commuted to life imprisonment the following year. And he was paroled in 1942.
Oh, okay.
He remained in trouble with the law throughout the rest of his life. He did not get off easily. In November 1945, he was jailed for fighting and carrying a shotgun. He was arrested again for attempted robbery and drunk driving in Louisiana. Both of those serious crimes, one more serious than the other, I would say. In 1948, Methven was intoxicated whilst attempting to cross a railroad track and was killed by an oncoming train. Although it has been speculated that his death
Ferris curse.
It could be the Ferris curse, or it could be retribution for the deaths of Bonnie and Clyde, especially after the similar death of his father, Ivan Methven, 16 months earlier. However, no evidence of foul play has ever been produced, leading me to conclude, Matt, I think it is the curse of Tutankhamun striking
Tutankhamun
several thousand years after his death.
Yep. Wow. Man,
that's so that's amazing. It, guys. That is the story of Bonnie and Clyde.
I really feel for Methven's dad.
Yeah, that sucks.
Ivan Methven.
He sort of... I know you probably do the same thing. These guys were going around killing a lot of people.
That's a great story. It was a great story and a great podcast.
Thank you. 5 stars if you've got it in your heart. I don't want to point this out, but someone has 1-starred us on iTunes.
I don't want to point this out, but so I'll point it out.
If you are like Methven and want some justice in this world, get on iTunes, give us bloody 5 stars. 1 star, can you? That really denigrates the overall average, I will just say.
It denigrates it big time. So denigrated.
I feel denigrated. But that is the, yeah, that's the story of Bonnie and Clyde.
That was super interesting. I really enjoyed that. I had a great time.
Matt?
Yeah, I enjoyed myself. It's a fucking sad story.
Yeah, it is pretty sad.
So sad. I know. No one really, it's not really
no
happy,
winners in there.
Happy ending for anyone there.
Mm. No.
Except us.
And the guy who had got to kill his crush.
Yeah, that's fun.
Yeah. What a weird thing.
That's super weird, isn't it? And he's not even a cop at the time when he knows it. He becomes a cop and then
he knows...
ends up being one of the 6 people asked to shoot him down.
So he knows what he's there to do. I guess, 6 of them, no one feels the guilt on their shoulders themselves, but...
But, you know, do you still have the same crush as you did in high school? Nah.
It's only a few years later, we'll say. It's only 4 or 5 years after his crush.
Yeah, that's interesting. There's crushes I had 4 years ago that now I don't have.
It's hard to...
So 4 or 5... There's a difference between not having them and murdering them.
Yeah, and I could murder people I had a crush on.
Really?
4 or 5 months ago, even.
Really?
Oh, really? You could shoot them in the head several times.
Shoot them. Give me 130 rounds.
And these are... Are we talking criminals?
Nah. Really nice people.
Well, let's hope that you never fall in love with Matt or I.
I'm never falling in love ever, remember?
Oh,
she's not a fuckhead, Dave.
Oh, yeah, love a battlefield. All right, so that is the end of the show. Thank you so much for listening to the tale of Bonnie and Clyde.
As told
Parker and Barrow.
Parker and Barrow. Remember that for Trivial Pursuit. I reckon it's going to come up.
Yeah, it will.
It's a classic trivia question. We've got our Melbourne Comedy Festival shows coming out very soon.
Yes.
You'd like to see us live and in the flesh? I'm doing a comedy... It will be in the flesh. I'll have my flesh on display. Probably not all of it. Actually, one of the games, I do a quiz show called Facty Fact versus the Audience. And one of the games, if you come on the right night, you get to see a photo of me naked. But, you know, I'm wearing it.
Are you selling the show?
Yeah, I am. It's a quiz show with guests at the Imperial Hotel for the first 2 weeks of the Comedy Festival, which starts opening weekend is Easter weekend, end of March.
Maybe you'll have Jess and I on as guests.
Definitely, you will be both. I'm just trying to think, should I have a do-go-on special where we try and get you both on? But who would be the weird... Because it's a team of 3 comedians competing against the audience. Who would you like to have?
You said weird. We could get... We know a few weird people.
We could probably discuss this off the podcast, too.
Yeah, we could. Cool. So I'll tweet about that when we do that. Jess, you're part of the Comedy Zone, a showcase of great new up-and-coming talent.
I am. It's on at Trades Hall for the entire run of the festival, so it's 22 shows. So you literally have no excuse not to
come. If you're not there, you better be dead. That's the excuse we're taking. If you've been shot 50 times, I'll accept it.
I'll allow it.
Matt, your show, a split show with the wonderful, the only... Andy Matthews. Tell us about that.
Yep, it's called Logistical Nightmare, and it's...
It's turning out to be one, isn't it?
It is, yeah, because he's moved to Sydney since we started the show, or we started talking about doing the show. But he's coming back down for it. That's the plan at the moment.
Thank goodness.
And it should be really good. It's on at Tuxedo Cat in the second half of the festival in Melbourne. If you're not in Melbourne, of course.
If you're not in Melbourne, just listen to the other episodes of the show.
No, yeah. Fly down.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Up or across, depending on where you are.
Tickets and links and everything are at comedyfestival.com.au. Check that out. Thank you so much. We'd love to see people there. You can always contact us with Twitter at DoGoOnPod.
Did we have a hashtag for the week? Because people, if you've got any suggestions for topics, keep them coming in. We get them trickling in every week.
Yeah, we totally do. And I reckon my next one, I'm going to do one from the hat.
I pulled one out of the hat for next week.
And you were saying you're excited.
Yeah, it's an interesting topic. I've already looked into it a bit and it's fascinating.
Cool.
Well, guys, if you've got those fascinating topics, please. Of course, if you're not on Twitter, we're on Facebook as well. Just search Do Go On. And email dogoonpod@gmail.com. So I guess that's it for the week. Matt's going to be back with that report from the hat next week. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll talk to you then.
Laters.
Bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.